Instead of following your heart, lead your heart. And how do you lead your heart? How do you lead your feelings? By faith in Jesus.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about fear. What does the Bible say about how we should respond to fear? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren, showing us that faith in Jesus leaves fear behind. Thanks for listening.
Psychologists have identified 645 different types of fears that people can experience. 645. I think I've experienced 641 of them. Fear is a universal issue. It happens to human beings, and it happens to Christians. It happens to us. We talk about fear and about faith in our message today, and the focus is John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. So we have two more appearances of Jesus to his disciples in our series, The Journey, moving forward, and we see how Jesus helps his disciples move forward after he rose from the dead. Listen to these words, John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus' disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's our Bible reading for today. Fear does not mean you are weak or you are a worrier. To have fear simply means that you are human. Fear is a human feeling, and we all have human feelings. Tell me that your heart hasn't skipped a beat when you're driving in the rain and the car ahead of you, you see the bright brake lights come on, it slams on its brakes, it's braking because the car in front of it braked, you're putting on your brakes and you're sliding toward that car and you can't stop. Whose heart hasn't skipped a beat when that has happened? Or maybe this, a different mode of travel. You're on an airplane and the airplane is being tossed around like a toy in the turbulence of the wind, and it drops 1,000 feet in a second. Doesn't your stomach just, whoa? Doesn't that's fear. Or the email comes with the subject. It's from your coach, from your doctor, from your boss. It says, "Bad news." Who hasn't paused in just a brief moment of panic? when reading that email subject before you read the rest. To fear is to be human. Fear is a feeling, and we all have feelings. In the Bible, God doesn't so much address feelings as good or bad. He actually focuses more on our response to the feelings. So, how do you respond to fear? What does fear do in your life? Does fear cause you to change your behavior in a bad way? Does it cause you to act irrationally and without common sense because the feeling, the emotions have overtaken you? Does fear lead you in ways that it shouldn't? Because fear and any feeling, any emotion, God creates in us, but it's designed for feelings to be our servant, not our master. Emotions should not tell you what to do. You should experience them and then say, hey, I'm feeling, fill in the blank, and because of that, I'm going to, and then proceed with the right response and the right reaction and activity. I recently had a CrossLife member ask me this question. It's a great question. She said, Pastor, if I feel something in my heart that I know is right, does that make it the truth? So that falls along the lines of advice that we hear all around in society, in our world. We hear, follow your heart. We hear, listen to your heart. That's in all kinds of songs, all kinds of movies, all kinds of Instagram memes. You hear this, follow your heart, listen to your heart. The Bible says that's bad advice. And here's why. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. So, if you want to listen to your heart, the source of your feelings, this is what we mean by heart, the source of our feelings. If you want to listen to your heart, if you want to follow your heart, the Bible says there's some risk with that. Because what's the heart? The heart is perfect? Nope. Deceitful. So we deceive ourselves, our hearts deceive us, and so if we listen to our heart 100% of the time, percent of the time you're going to be wrong, percent of the time you're going to be right, those percentages ebb and flow, but you cannot fully trust your heart. As a matter of fact, trusting your heart compared to, let's say, the advice of a four-year-old. Your four-year-old mom gives you some advice. Your heart gives you some advice. Which one should you trust more, according to this verse? Yeah. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above the four-year-old. The heart is more deceitful than all things. You catch that in this verse? This is a powerful verse for us to understand. So I feel like something is right in my heart. It's telling me it's the right thing. Is it the truth? The answer is maybe, but we don't know because it's your heart. So here's some better advice. Instead of following your heart, lead your heart. And how do you lead your heart? How do you lead your feelings? By faith in Jesus. So faith in Jesus leaves fear behind in the rearview mirror. That's a lesson that Jesus teaches his disciples and us today. Kids, question for you. You have a brother or sister? Yeah, let's keep it there. So you have a brother or sister, maybe younger brother or sister, and something happens to them like it's a really small thing. Like your little brother drops a French fry on the floor and he has a whole container of French fries left. But when his French fry falls on the floor, He loses it. What are you thinking at that moment when your brother or sister is like getting all out of shape over a little thing? You're like thinking, dude, chill out. Calm down. You're overreacting. Maybe your mom or dad tell you that sometimes too. You're overreacting. See, that can happen when we listen to our feelings Instead of looking at the one French fry and the package of French fries, we listen to our feelings, and our feelings cause us to overreact. It happens to adults too. Feelings cause us to overreact. So Jesus is going to teach his disciples and us about their fears and about what fear does and about believing in our fears. So this is important. Listen to this. Having fear does not mean you don't believe Jesus. Having fear as you drop 1,000 feet in a big airplane doesn't mean you're sinning and not believing in Jesus. Having fear is human. Having fear is I'm sliding towards another car and I can't stop. Okay, that's normal. Believing in fear does mean you're not believing Jesus. Those are two different things. Having fear and then letting your fear lead you and control you and master you and manipulate you, then bad things happen. Then that means you're not believing Jesus. Let's look at it this way. Kids, let me ask you another question. So kids, you're playing catch with mom or dad, or you're observing your brother or sister play catch with mom and dad. And I don't know, maybe it's like your little sister, little brother, they don't quite yet know the rules of catch. And so they walk like, here's your mom or dad, and they walk like this close to them, and then throw the ball off their head. They don't understand, they're not supposed to do that. What should your mom or dad do when a ball is speeding at their head and it's going to hit them between the eyes? Is it okay for them to close their eyes and duck and do this? Is that okay? Probably a good idea. So this speeding ball is coming at them at 45 miles an hour, and they need to close their eyes and duck. All right, now, second question, kids. Mom or dad is driving down Kelly Lane at the appropriate speed limit of 45 miles an hour, and they're driving, and now there's things coming toward them at 45 miles per hour. There's signs on the side of the road. There's maybe a person standing by the side of the road. So now, these things are approaching your mom or dad at 45 miles an hour. Should they close their eyes and duck? Well, wait a minute. I thought you just said when something is coming at your mom and dad at 45 miles an hour, they should close their eyes and duck. Oh, it's different, isn't it? So in one of them, they've learned that fear is appropriate and they respond to fear in a certain way by closing their eyes and ducking. But they don't respond to fear in that way when they're driving because they've learned by experience this isn't as big of a fear. There's nothing really to be afraid of when it's something when they're driving coming at them. All right. See, so that makes a lot of sense. So, learning the difference when we're afraid what to do. That happened to the disciples. They had a choice. After Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples had a choice. They could close their eyes and duck, or they could listen to what Jesus said that they should do. They closed their eyes and ducked. They were in a room. It was locked. They were afraid, and they closed their eyes and ducked. When you close your eyes and duck, and fear makes you paralyzed, takes away your peace, it's dangerous. It's like driving with your head under the steering wheel behind the dashboard. You're going to veer off the road, and you're going to hurt and harm others. You're going to be a dangerous person. You're going to say and do things that you don't want to say and do because you're not in control of driving on the road. And ultimately, you could die in a deadly crash without faith, without Jesus, eternally in hell. If all you want to do is listen to your fears and follow them. The disciples were on that path. Jesus came and saved them from it. If instead you respond to your fear by not closing your eyes and ducking, but you say, well, Jesus is here, these are just signs, then they're going to pass by you and you're going to look at them. Fear is going to pass by, and faith will cause it to pass by and be in the rearview mirror, and you're going to leave it behind by faith in Jesus. So let's look at this text in John chapter 20. I just have these two verses that I really want to focus on today, and Jesus' words in John chapter 20. And pay attention to this. We have a learning sandwich here. We have a learning sandwich. In the middle is the meat. This is the heavy part, the part that's really good, and we want to digest this and pay attention to what's in the middle of these words of Jesus. That's in the middle. That's the most important part. On top of it, the first part is the cause of the disciples' fear. So that's the first part. That's the top bun, the cause of the disciples' fear. Then we have the meat, what Jesus says and does. And then on the other side, we have the other side of the bun is the result, is the outcome of what Jesus says and does that changes how the disciples are acting. Pay attention to this as I read these words. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. First part of the sandwich, what caused the disciples to be afraid? The Jewish leaders. And specifically, the fact that the Jewish leaders overpowered the Son of God. That's scary. So not only were the disciples afraid that the Jewish leaders might come after them too as followers of Jesus, but pay attention to this. They were afraid if Roman soldiers and Roman politicians can overpower the man they followed who said he was the Son of God and murder him. See where this is going? Is he really the Son of God? And if he isn't the Son of God, we really have something to be afraid of. So there was all this kind of fear stirring around in the disciples' hearts, and it was happening. There, fear can cause us, like a scared cat, to scamper and hide under the bed when guests come to the house that the cat doesn't know. Some of you have cats like that, right? I come to your house and the cats flee and the other people come. Like scaredy cats, the disciples were. Then what happens? They're scared. They have doors locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus appears. And pay attention to what this says. Jesus came. So he's interested in these men. They're his friends, his followers. He's interested in them, even though they're afraid, too afraid. And what does he do? He came and... Jesus is not in a wheelchair in rehabilitation after being dead for 3 days. Jesus is not on crutches, currently undergoing physical therapy for the nails that were pounded into his feet. Jesus is not half there. He doesn't have a foot in that room and a foot somewhere else. Do you see this? Jesus, all of him, he came to them and he stood. This is the risen, living, victorious Son of God. Men, Jesus says, just by standing there, you wondered if I was the Son of God or not? Well, I am, and here I am. This is the risen Jesus standing there. Do they need to be afraid? No. Jesus came and stood among them. Do not let your fears ever convince you that Jesus is anything less than everything he says he is. Do not let your fears convince you that Jesus is only half interested in you because he's interested in the better people in the world, people with a stronger faith, people who give more, people who are more well-behaved and better looking. Don't ever let your fears convince you that Jesus is not all in and all there all the time. And then look where Jesus focuses his disciples and us to get rid of our fears and to respond to them. Two things. Number one, he wants us to listen to his words instead of listening to our fears. And what does he say? Peace be with you. The Greek really says, peace is yours. You have peace. Not Go find it somewhere. Not read a book and everything will be okay. Peace is yours. Peace is with you. Jesus once said before he suffered and died, "My peace I give to you." John 14, verse 27, that's my confirmation verse. Where do you get peace when you're afraid? It's a gift. Jesus gives it to you. "My peace I give to you." He goes on to say, "I don't give to you as the world gives. I give my peace to you. My peace is otherworldly. You're not going to find it here. But I've made it, I've designed it, and I give my peace to you." Listen to Jesus' words. Then look at Jesus' wounds. Listen to his words. Look at his wounds. Right? Jesus says to his disciples, he showed them his hands and his side, and later said to Thomas, put your hand here. Touch my hands. Touch my side. He showed them his hands and his side. Kids, one more question. Any of you ever shop at Walmart or Costco? Raise your hand. Okay? When you go there and you fill up your shopping cart and you're leaving, you're going out the door, there's a person at the door who doesn't let you out the door with a big shopping cart full of stuff until they see what? What do they want to look at? Yours is probably longer than this one. They want to see your receipt. Why? What does the receipt tell them? It tells them everything in that cart is paid for. It's the proof that everything is paid for. Jesus' resurrection, he rose from the dead, is the receipt, is the proof that everything is paid for. What's paid for? All of your sins. All the times when you feared and you should have had faith. All the times when fear led you and you should have led it. All the times when you locked the door in your room or in your heart and you hid and Jesus wanted you to be out on the streets witnessing or preaching. All the times paid for. Now, those sins are paid for and they're in your cart, but don't take them with you, okay? Those sins are paid for. Just shove that cart back into the store, all of your sins, shove it, leave it behind you, and then leave Costco, leave Walmart. You have no sins, they're all paid for. And it tells us what happens next when the disciples did that. They were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So as much as their fear was an overreaction, now look what we have. They're overjoyed in the other direction. There's an overabundance in the other direction. So their fears were way more than they should have been, and now they have joy way more than you might ever think they could. And why? If you need more joy in your life, where do you find it? Where is it? It says, they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So you need more joy? Jesus is the Lord of your taxes and the Lord of the IRS and the Lord of the United States government. How's that? You need more joy? Jesus is the Lord of your schedule, the Lord of your sins, and the Lord of every prayer that you pray. So that the answer is always perfect for you. Jesus is never wrong. He hears every prayer and he answers every prayer. So he answers and he's the Lord of those answers. He's the Lord of your friend's marriage that's on the rocks, and he's the Lord of your grandma's cancer, and he's the Lord of your water heater that's not working, and he's the Lord of your career, the Lord of your business, and the Lord of your grades, and the Lord of your kids, and the Lord of your heart. And if he's the Lord of all that, and we don't have to have fear about any of it, we have a lot more time to be joyful, don't we? I would normally say amen there. That's a dangerous statement when you hear that, isn't it? I would normally say amen and then pray and then have a little, I usually introduce the offering that we receive on Sundays with a few words that relate to the theme, but I want to include that now for people on Facebook Live and for watching this video who wouldn't see it otherwise, because I want you all to know that we're not afraid to talk about money at CrossLife, and it relates in a very spiritual way to big things like fear and faith. So I'm going to give that announcement now, and then I'll say amen, and we'll take our offering. But here, I thought of this. We're so joyful. We're overjoyed in the Lord. We should be standing up like Jesus and standing strong and dancing in the aisles when we take our offering. Well, but we take it when we're sitting down. I don't know. I suppose that's practically helpful. It would kind of be messy if we're passing the plate and someone jumping up and down and we spill all the dollar bills and the $100 bills and the pennies and the dimes that are in there and the offering envelopes. But we give out of our joy, not out of our fear. I don't give to God afraid that I might not have enough left. I don't give to God afraid that I'm giving less than the person in front of me. I don't give to God afraid that he may not be able to use the little bit that I can give him. I don't give afraid. I give with joy. And then what does that look like? I don't know. It might look like all of you standing up on the chairs and passing the basket today or dancing. It can look like a lot of things, especially in our own lives, right? It doesn't have to be here. But when you give with joy, there's no fear in anything related to the money and the possessions, the wealth that God gives you. That's a wonderful place to be. And I want to thank you for giving to CrossLife with joy, because that is contagious and it's making a difference, and God is using your joy to do a lot of good things at our church. Now I'm going to say amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.